Good morning, friends. We are beginning a new series called He Appeared. And what we're looking at is the idea that Jesus made many appearances after he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday morning. If we were to take a thought experiment and think about what it would mean for us to be able to come back after we lived and died and were in an afterlife, to speak to somebody who was still alive, and what message we would carry, it could be an incredibly powerful and important moment. So the idea that Jesus would come and share his heart, share a message with people who were still living on this earth after he had died and risen, is an incredibly personal and powerful thing. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at some of those experiences and what he said. Today first, though, I want to address an issue that I think many people in our society wrestle with today. And that is the whole idea of an afterlife. Is there an afterlife? Is there a resurrection? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? And why, Pastor, would you believe that? So let me talk about that today before we get into some of the experiences of Jesus, because I think it's a critical question, an important one, and one that sometimes the church doesn't take seriously or acknowledge. And so, you know, I was raised a Christian, but my background, my undergraduate degree is in science. I was a biology major. So the importance of really understanding facts and our world and how things work is critical to the way that I approach scripture and life and other things. And so when we talk about the resurrection of Christ from the dead, for many people, it's a non-starter just because it doesn't fit into a scientific model. There's no evidence. There's no reason to believe it. And for many, increasingly today, they don't believe that there's any kind of an afterlife at all. And I can understand that. Today, what I want to look at is a scripture from Paul. And the reason why I've chosen the scripture is because Paul, while Paul was religious, he was a Jewish Pharisee. He was a complete skeptic. As a matter of fact, he was in complete opposition to everything that Jesus stood for, who he was and what he was doing. And so as a result of that, his views mean a lot, because it wasn't until long after all this happened that Paul became a convert, that Paul believed in Christ. And it took a literal encounter with Christ for that to happen. So I want to look at a scripture in which he talks about that. And this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so even if you don't wrestle with this, even if you don't wrestle with the idea that Jesus actually rose from the dead, I want you to walk with me, because others around you do. And I want you to hear what Paul's saying, because not only will you find hope that is reinforced and encouraged in your life, but you may find some answers to some things that friends or family in your life are questioning. So here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For I received what I passed on to you. He's writing to the church. I already passed this on to you. He's recalling a conversation that he had when he was with them in Corinth. For I received, I was given, others gave to me what I gave to you. As of first importance, this is, of all the things I've said to you, this is what's most important: that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Some of the people that experienced this have died, he said, as I write this. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, as to one abnormally born. In other words, I didn't really fit in this family. All these folks, they kind of believed ahead of time. I did not. I didn't buy any of it. I didn't like Jesus. I was opposed to him. And so he appeared to me kind of last, as if I wasn't really part of the group, and he hadn't been. "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I was in active opposition to what God was doing. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect." In other words, his willingness to work with me affected me, changed me. "No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in." When I got it, when I understood, when I saw what I didn't see before, I worked harder than all of them. "Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, if we're standing here in front of you, the group of us, all of us who saw him, if we're saying to you that Christ has risen from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection from the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." So some, in their preaching, some people have said, "Well, you guys have said Jesus is risen, but I believe there's no such thing. There's no such thing as an afterlife. There's no such thing as being risen. There's none of that. None of that." And so Paul goes on to say, if Christ hasn't been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is we're wasting our time. We are wasting our time. And Paul is beginning to count on them to understand his character, who he is, and where he came from, to say, I'm the last person to join this bandwagon. I'm the last person who would come to agree and believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. Trust me. But I happen to see him. He appeared to me. And so you can sit there and say there is no resurrection of the dead, but I'm telling you, I was completely opposed to everything about this man and his movement, and then he appeared to me. And so you can sit there and say there's no resurrection of the dead, but I've seen this guy. I have seen the risen Lord with my own eyes. More than that, we're found to be false witnesses. Not only does the claim that there's no resurrection of the dead go against what we've seen, but you're calling us liars, fabricators, making this up. And Paul would say, and I have no reason to lie. The others who had already joined the movement, maybe they could be accused of having some reason to lie, to keep things going, to do the good work that Jesus has. But what reason would I have, Paul says, for lying? None. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. He said, our faith hinges on this idea. Then those also who are fallen and asleep in Christ are lost. For only if in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people to be most pitied. If we're thinking to ourselves that Jesus in this, if we're thinking that Jesus is our hope and it's only true in this life, but it's not true in anything after, then we're laughable. We're laughable. And that's where a lot of people sit. So I want you to understand something. Paul finishes by saying, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So here's Paul. Paul is a highly trained scholar. He's got a person with a very deep heart and a very, very deep mind. And if you read Paul's stuff, especially in Romans, you can understand how hard Paul thinks through things. He's not a person who lightly buys into things. He's politically minded and motivated, and the movement of Jesus was not politically popular. Paul would not have joined the movement simply because it gave him political gain. He was from a well-connected family, and being a part of those who believed in Jesus was not considered good for your social status in the upper echelon of Jews in Jerusalem. He was opposed to Jesus and his entire movement, as I said. He arrested, beat, and jailed Christians, and even says in Acts chapter 26 that he chased them to other cities outside of Jerusalem to find them, to track them down. He claims then that he met the risen one, that Jesus himself appeared to him. This, Paul, is what he claims. Now, if you were to pause and say to me, what would convince me? Well, someone of this background, who had no interest, in fact, who was hostile to everything that God was trying to do in Jesus, and suddenly had and testified to a real experience of the risen Christ. Well, I'm just going to say, from a scientific standpoint, empirically, that makes me wake up and say, let me listen. What are you saying? Because Paul is challenging us to say, either believe me or call me a liar. Believe me or call me a liar. And based upon these things and the fact that Paul suffered deeply for his faith, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was stranded, he nearly starved to death, he was stoned several times. Paul was either insane or he was so committed to what he had previously been against that it's hard to understand if it wasn't true. And so here's some key takeaways that I think are critical for us to understand. Resurrection, Paul says, is possible, and Jesus is alive. Is this the only reason why I believe that Jesus is alive? Because of Paul? No. No, it's not. I'm just asking you to consider Paul and his case. Paul also says it is the linchpin. It is the most important part of our faith. The idea that Christ is risen. And the notion that he appeared to let us know, to tell us, one of the key reasons why he showed up and appeared to the women, the disciples, is to say, I am alive, just like I said. And so our hope as Christians, despite what so many people say, is not grounded in wishes or fantasy. It's grounded in real people who had a real experience of Jesus. It's grounded in historical events. It's grounded in our own experiences of a living God. Jesus, and this is so critical, Jesus especially came to Paul, when you read Acts chapter 26, to say this: Paul, you are to be a light to the world, and especially the Gentiles, to tell them who have no idea about the Jewish God or about Jesus, that I love them, and to lead them into the light of God. The idea that Jesus would come to Paul and say, please go where others might not and tell them that I love them. Do not leave them behind. Do not let them live without the hope that there's a God who loves them, a life after death, and the ability to have our sins forgiven. That's why Jesus came to Paul. And I want you to think over the coming weeks about the power of Christ appearing and what that means for us in our faith. Are we willing to take these people seriously? Are willing to listen to their experiences and to hear what Jesus said to them? And are you willing to understand how important it was to Jesus that people hear that he loves them and that he wants to lead them into the light of God? He died so that people might know that God loves them. And so often, that's not what we're able to communicate. But he came back to say it again. Would you pray with me? Father, there are people who just wrestle with this issue of you rising from the dead. And I realize that believing someone 2,000 years ago who wrote that they experienced something may not convince a whole bunch of people. But we live believing and looking to the past history to understand the experience of others in areas where we have not yet personally experienced. And Paul is one of the most credible witnesses because of who he was and what he believed before he met you and what he became after he met you. Help us to be sympathetic to folks who wrestle with these issues. Help us to share gently and gracefully. And help us to truly have a burning desire to share the love of Christ and his desire for people to know that love. Because there are so many people who feel alone, so many people who feel lost, so many people who feel like there's nothing in this world or after for them. Help us to be people of hope because of it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Would you join with me now in the words that Christ taught us to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.